Betsy. They've trapped her, cornered her in her own home. She wants to lash out at them, to scratch and kick. She's been trying to contain her rage for so long. Becoming Betsy Martin, America's grandmother, has been a way for her to heal, to prove to herself that she's in control. But seeing Elizabeth has shaken something loose in her. She feels herself reverting to that child she once was, that terribly angry little girl. "I killed her. Is that what you want to hear? And I'd do it again," Betsy explodes. White spots flicker in her vision. Betsy sees Lottie's jaw drop open, but she can't stop herself. She deserved it. The words tear from somewhere inside Betsy, shooting out in a ragged scream. Lottie and the rest lean back from her, afraid. She should stop, pull herself together, save the remaining scraps of her career, her rapidly unraveling reputation. But she finds herself unable to control the torrent of rage. The anger has overwhelmed her now. It feels good to give in to it. Betsy is lost, swirling back in time, reliving the injustice of all she endured at the expense of Agnes. Betsy remembers her father and Agnes stumbling into the conservatory one afternoon when she was playing there. The way they looked, her father smiling back at Agnes as he pulled her into the room with him, told her their meeting was a secret. Betsy had hidden behind a crate and watched as Agnes, flushed and happy, reached for her father's face, pulling it toward her, kissing him on the mouth. It was all Betsy could do not to retch and give away her hiding spot. Their lips were stained with wine. She'd watched through the slats as her very own father, all smiles, kissed the maid. Her father's face was full of desire, his hands traveling up the bodice of Agnes's uniform. He never looked at Betsy's mother that way. For years, Betsy watched as her mother would try to engage with him. "How was your sleep?" she'd ask at breakfast each morning. But her father would shake the newspaper open to a new page, pretend not to have heard. Beyond the pages, her mother's face would drop, the smile fading from her face. As the years passed, it hardened there, a mask of disappointment she never removed. There were days before finding out when Betsy had felt an almost uncontrollable anger at her, lying there, letting it happen. Those days she'd go back to her room and break something her mother had bought her. She'd crack a glass doll or rip the seams from one of her dresses. But after seeing her father acting so full of life with another woman, she was no longer furious with her mother. Betsy could see that she was only trapped in the unhappy situation her father and Agnes had created. Then one night, as she crept downstairs for a glass of milk and one more slice of cake, she'd heard her father and Agnes plotting in the kitchen. Her father would move away, it was decided. Agnes and Elizabeth would go with him. What a happy little family. Their plotting was so brazen, they hadn't even left the manor. Her mother could have heard. She couldn't blame her father. It was Agnes's fault. It was her spell he was under. She ran back to her room, feeling physically sick. His words to Agnes echoed in her mind. "It is you who I love, my darling, and our precious girl deserves more than the life of a servant. You both do." She had to do something. She had to stop them. The night it happened, Agnes was trying to make things right with Betsy. They'd both come out onto the landing at the same time, Betsy from the east wing and Agnes from the west. She had an apron around her waist, was heading down to the kitchen to clean up the remnants of the family dinner. As they met on the landing, Betsy turned her head away from Agnes, not wanting to even look at her. It had been like this for weeks. Every time they saw each other, Betsy would twist away angrily so that Agnes knew how she felt. She wanted her to see how much her mere presence hurt Betsy. She wanted to see the hurt in Agnes's eyes when she rejected her. This time, though, Agnes blocked her path, gently touching Betsy on the arm. "I know that you are upset with me," Agnes had told her, lowering herself to Betsy's eye level. "And I want you to know that I care so much about you, Betsy. You are like a second daughter to me." Betsy jerked away from Agnes, as though being burned, turning back and glaring at her with what she hoped was absolute hatred in her eyes. The absolute hubris with which Agnes, the homewrecker, was trying to appeal to Betsy was too much for her. "Well, you are just the maid to me," she spat out, the anger rising up inside, overwhelming her. "I hate you," she'd hissed. Agnes stood up in surprise as Betsy took off at a run and barreled into her with all her might, pushing her head into Agnes's stomach and sending her flying back against the railing. Agnes, gasping, caught herself against the ledge. For a few sickening seconds, she teetered above the foyer. All Betsy had to do was shove her once more, catching her square in the shoulders and pushing with all her might. Agnes's eyes were wide, her mouth open in a wordless scream. Her arms reached out for Betsy as she fell backward, tipping over the edge of the railing, head first. She landed on the flagstone with a loud crack. Betsy didn't run for help, didn't budge from the landing. She just waited, watching as a trickle of blood escaped from Agnes's head onto the tile. It was a cry for help from a neglected child. That's what Betsy's mother had told her father, whispering it forcefully in his ear as he sat on a chair, his head drooping into his palms. "If it wasn't for that woman trying to steal you away from your family, none of this would have happened," she'd hissed. The body was already gone from where it had fallen, the blood scrubbed clean. They sent Elizabeth away to some far-off relative's house and hired new help, sealed off the fourth floor. But her father couldn't erase it. She never saw him happy again. Betsy still hated Agnes for it. "They were going to get married. I couldn't let him leave my mother for her. It was preposterous. Agnes was going to ruin our lives. I had no choice. Don't you understand?" Betsy looks around the group, searching for a face of reason, someone who can comprehend where she is coming from. But she sees only fear and shock in their eyes. She should have known better than to expect empathy from this bunch. "What about me?" Lottie cries, her voice sounding like that of a frightened child. So irritating. "My father knew he had to protect me or my life would be ruined, so he took care of it. We couldn't have you around asking questions, reminding us." Betsy breathes heavily, winded from the outburst. After Agnes died, her father shuffled through the halls of Grafton, defeated, shoulders slumped. "He'll get better," Betsy's mother often said those first years. But she was wrong. If anything, he retreated into himself more as the years passed, engaging with Betsy and her mother only when it was absolutely necessary. Every day the old Richard Grafton faded until there was barely a wisp of the man he'd once been. And then even that vanished. She hated him as well. After her outburst, Betsy's throat feels raw, like she has swallowed glass. Pradumna steps toward her gently, as if he is coaxing a wild animal from a cave. "Where is Agnes, Betsy?" Before she can stop herself, Betsy's eyes flick to the window. She looks out at the dark shapes of the lawn just starting to become visible under the early morning sky. Lottie follows her gaze, stepping past her and up to the window, pressing her fingers against the glass. The clouds have broken, and the first morning light catches on a lone dogwood tree, glowing a ghostly white in the garden. Betsy is exhausted now, spent from her outburst. She falls back into the chair in surrender. The rage she'd been feeling is dissipating, like a storm. It's funny, she thinks, how anger does that. There is a low wail of sirens growing louder, a flicker of blue and red light at the windows as a row of police cars and ambulances pulls up the drive. Gerald holds up his cell phone. "Based on traffic times, even accounting for the storm, I deduced that there was no call put in yet to the police, so I did it myself,"